Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Joshua. Today we'll learn about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, and we'll see that these histories are also prophetic of future events. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Our study in Joshua will show us that, just as God's people had to battle for their promised land, today we too must battle to see, then seize, God's promises for us, so that we can live in the Spirit-filled life. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
And I've seen it happen where people come up and, "I need you to pray against the spirit of nicotine." I don't know that there's a demon by the name of cigarettes. I just don't think so. Yeah, and you feel good. I'm not gonna smoke again. But then Thursday morning, that thing comes back. "I thought we cast out the spirit of nicotine." Well, it's not a demon by the name badge of nicotine. It's your flesh. And just like when you decide that I will forgive and release that person, the enemy's going to come back and say, "Here I am again." And sometimes the biggest forgivenesses in your life isn't a one-time event. It's 1,000 little decisions for the next few days. That each time it rears its ugly head, I drag it back to the foot of the cross. God says, "I have won the battle, but you have to seize it." Verse 6. "Therefore be very courageous and keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left hand." And don't forget that in his inaugural address, Joshua in chapter 1, 6 through 9, this is what the Lord told him. "Do not get out of the word, bro. You got to stay in the word always. Don't go to the left and don't go to the right. You stay close in my word." To the leaders of God's people, say this, the same thing that God told you, stay in the word. Verse 7, "And lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them or bow down to them." If number one is stay in the word, number two, leaders of Israel, be separate from the world. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren," says Paul, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." In other words, you could do this. "And do not be conformed to this world." How? You got to be transformed. How? "By the," say with me, "renewing of your brain, that you may prove." That's the Greek word dokimazo, and it means test, to prove that a thing is genuine. When you stay on the altar of God, giving up what you want, and stop planting the flag of why you get to stay broken, you're going to be able to test and prove something genuine. What? The good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what. Romans 16, look at verse 19. "For your obedience has become known to all, therefore I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and stupid or simple or uninformed about those things of evil." Who was it, the guy that said, "Well, if I'm going to minister to the drunk people, I guess I better go hang out at the bar because I got to know what's going on." No. Oh, Harvest, I pray that we are simple or uninformed about what is evil. Back to Joshua. Now we're in verse number 8, chapter 23. "But you, leaders of Israel, you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore take careful heed to yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Hey, leaders of God's people, you got to stay in the Word. Number two, you got to be separated from the world. And number three, you got to be able to be wrecked a little bit in worship. Does the presence of the Lord just sort of unfold you? When's the last time you were so overwhelmed by the presence of the Lord that the tears came and you slipped to your knees in awe and wonder? Oh, I pray, Harvest, that on these Wednesday nights and hopefully Sundays, that the times of worship isn't cool because the songs are neat and the excellency of the stage left over here, that's really not what we're shooting for. We're hoping and we're praying that, like us, your heart just becomes undone in the presence of the Lord. He's such a good God. Affectionate lovers of God, worshipers, setting and spending focused time with Him. I hope you can do that. But don't make it a religious thing. At the same time, grabbing time with Him whenever you can. Lunch hour walks. Turn off the car radio. That's a good one. And I appreciate that most employers provide a little prayer booth for everybody, a.k.a. the restroom. Verse 12. Or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, oh, if you did that, and if you make marriages with them and go into them and they to you, oh my. Verse 13. Know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you. And on this inauguration week, I couldn't help see the similarity to America. You know, God has done some great victories for America, wouldn't you agree? You got to get the Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall and David Emanuel and read about the Battle of New York led by George Washington, the rookie general. He was trapped on or near Manhattan, trapped on the island, and the British knew it, and they had him dead to rights. It looks like this revolution is going to be over before it ever really gets started. Suddenly and bizarrely, early in the morning, an unusual fog for that time of year, thick as pea soup, descends, covers their retreat. And when the fog lifts, the British are all, sah! And they're gone. Time after time after time. Events that should have sunk the little nation freshly birthed. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That of these rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that's why governments were given, instituted among men. And when a nation usurps that, it's their God-given mandate to get out from under. Of the 20-some points of the Declaration of Independence, 17 were preaching points in the pulpits of New England for 30 years previously. And one supernatural event after another. George Washington, before he was the general of the American troops, he was fighting alongside the British in the French and Indian War. And at the Battle of Monongahela, which is now near, what is it, Pittsburgh or in that area, that he was riding up and down the troops, and the French, who had outfitted the Indians with the latest in rifles, they said, forget about the rest of the army, just shoot at their main guy. That was a young George Washington. And hundreds of rounds were expended trying to get that big 6-foot-plus man on that galloping white steed. He wasn't a difficult target. And George Washington, when he got done with that battle, he saw bullet holes throughout his uniform. Years later, one of the chiefs of that tribe looked up George Washington and told him of the myth that was growing about the chief of the white chief who could not be killed, and told him of his own braves going, "I got him dead in my sight. Blam, miss." Verse 12, if you go back, Israel, if you go back, America, and cling to the remnant of those old nations, make marriages with them, go into them and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you. And they're going to become snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes. Ouch! Not only defeat, but great discomfort, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. What? Defeat and discomfort in the promised land? Is it possible? Yeah. Powerful principle of the promised land, Harvest Family. The devil never stops coming back trying to seize that which he lost. Hey, leaders of God's people, you're to stay in the Word. Number two, you're to be separated from the world. Number three, affectionate lovers of God, worshipers. And number four, in Harvest Family, listen, you can never stop fighting. Never. Not until Jesus comes back. Amen? No matter how huge God has been for you, miracles, supernatural protections and provision, any of us are capable of sliding backwards. And we're going to see that in the Judges. Verse 14. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke. All have come to pass for you. Not one word has failed. Therefore it shall come to pass that as the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land, which the Lord your God has given you. He's just reiterating, as Joshua, what God told Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. If you do all these, obey me, and stay away from the idols, then you're going to be blessed in the city, in the country, you know. Your livestock, your children. You'll be a lender to many nations and not a borrower. And your enemy will come in one way, one big army, but they'll go out seven ways and scattered in panic. And if you don't, then it's going to be just the opposite. It was true of Israel, right? Could the same be said for America? Verse 16, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, little g, and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. Did this happen? Oh, man. As we see in the books of Samuel and Kings, the northern 10 tribes, doesn't take them long, but they follow Jeroboam after Baal and golden calf worship. And then what happens to them? 722 BC, the Assyrians sweep in, they swallow them up, and the northern 10 tribes region is now under the thumb of the Assyrians. The southern two tribes region, they hang out a little longer because there was guys like Jehoshaphat and Josiah who said, we have sinned, and called upon the grace of God, and God answered and stayed the hand of judgment. But in 606 really, B.C., finally, the southern two tribes region, they consistently fall away from God, bait him really into judgment. King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians are allowed to conquer and deport the last of God's people. Well, you know the story. 70 years, they're in the Babylonian captivity, but they come back and they get another chance. And though they're not so beholden to the idolatrous things like they used to be, they kind of pick up a whole new bag. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and all that, And then God allows a Greek fella by the name of Antiochus IV. And then 167 BC, he does horrible things there in Jerusalem, kills a lot of the priests and the people, and he puts up a statue of the Greek God in the Holy of Holies. God gives them the grace under Judas Maccabeus and his five amazing sons. And one sort of last little dynasty called the Hasmoneans, and they love the Lord. But a few generations down the road, they lose their grip because here come the Romans and that awful fella, Herod the Great. And by the time that happens and Jesus shows up, the heavily entrenched religiosity of the people, God himself in a human suit is standing in front of them and they don't see him. On Palm Sunday, the day that he said he would be there, 173,880 days to the day that Daniel chapter 9 said he would, there he was. What did they do? Did they receive him as Messiah? Nope. And Jesus stopped the whole crowd. He begins to weep. Oh, Jerusalem, if you'd have only known what day this was. But now, trouble. Jesus cited because of the sin, singular. What was that? At that point, the rejection of the greatest revelation of God known to man, Jesus. And they didn't buy it. 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed and the Jews are scattered. Just like Joshua said. May 14th, 1948, they come back into the land again. That's a whole other covenant. It's not the Mosaic covenant. It's the Abrahamic covenant. And the Abrahamic covenant doesn't matter what the Jews do because God's name is on the line. And God says, you will never be plucked up off the land again. Now we know that this happened exactly to Israel. Amen? Will America be any different? Have we seen a great revelation of God? Some of the greatest preachers ever have come from this land. Greatest insights. A large portion of the invention that fueled the Industrial Revolution were people that came from this land. Why? Because this beautiful political system, in my opinion, the best that man has ever come up with. There's only one way that people are going to have peace in their nation. When the Prince of Peace institutes it. What about America? If you'll allow me, George Washington, he had a farewell address too. His farewell address was first published by David C. Claypool's The American Daily Advertiser. It was a Philadelphia newspaper. It's the first daily cycled newspaper in America. And he published this George Washington farewell in its entirety, September 19th, 1796. There are many things, but one caught my eye. Think of this, I wonder, as we've been listening to our own President Obama give his farewell speeches and such. Here's one for the ages, George Washington. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion, and when he means religion, he was talking what, everybody? Biblical Christianity. It's biblical Christianity and morality, they are indispensable supports. These biblical morals, these are the firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. The politician, equally with the pious man, ought to respect and cherish them. Morality cannot be maintained without religion. Morality cannot be maintained unless there's biblical Christianity, biblical preaching and teaching, and adherence to the same. Reason and experience forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of biblical principle. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and It never ceases to amaze me, Lord, that whatever we're looking at in Scripture has a current events application. And as we see our president sworn in and in his inauguration, Lord, prompt us to pray for him. Prompt us to pray, Lord, for this Congress. Prompt us to pray, Lord, for those in Carson City and those over here in Reno that are our county and city municipalities. Do not let the biblical Christian vacate the public square, especially now. Oh, Lord God, we want to take a quick moment to intercede for our president. You told Timothy, you said, pray for those who are in governance over you, who are in authority over you, that it will go well for you and that you will live peaceable lives. And Lord, the whole world is going through tremendous changes. The spirit of Brexit is contagious now in Europe. Globalism is the naughty word. Nationalism is the rallying cry. That sort of set the table for World War I and World War II. With the advent of economic tyranny, security breaches of the electronic systems breached so easily by hackers of all nations, and of course the weaponry that's available to fly in an intercontinental ballistic arc, it really is one of these places where people are fearful. And when humans get scared without the assurance of a living, loving God, they tend to shut the doors and bar the gates and stay behind the walls of nationalism. There often is the breeding ground of despots of all kind. But Lord, I know here in America, we have been clamoring for somebody, anybody, please take control here. While even many Christians are so relieved, I pray, Lord, that we don't put our faith in the Donald Trump, but we put our faith in the last Trump. The Trump of Jesus Christ, who soon and very soon will call us home. And until that day, Lord God, I pray, don't let us shrink from our responsibilities to intercede for this government and for this president and for our military and for our police and first responders. And Lord, prompt us to pray for the pastors. Perhaps as never before, a biblical understanding of where we are, prophetically speaking, so crucial. And yet at the same time, so many Christians don't even have a clue. Move the pastors, Lord, to get into the Word. Move the pastors to teach your Word. Move the pastors to do their homework and get their head up into the prophetic mainstream and see what's going on and warn the people. John said it in 1 John. When people really get a handle of how soon it could be that Jesus comes back, their lives change. Their priorities are shifted. I pray, Lord God, let America understand that we are blessed. But if you choose to squeeze America, we say, your will be done, Lord. Because you are more interested in the eternities of people than you are with the interests of a nation. Oh, in Jesus' name, if judgment is what America needs to sweep the neutral off the fence, then bring it, Lord. But at the same time, the church had better be ready with an answer. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful nation. But I pray, Lord God, our first allegiance is you. Before and in front of America. We pray for the inauguration. We pray for the safety of all those involved. And we pray, Lord God, for the healing of this nation. In Jesus' name, and all the loved ones of the Lord said, amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Joshua with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful in understanding the powerful and crucial principle of living in the Spirit-filled life. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, You can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.